Hey guys, this week's show brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. That's right, you too can have your own show. You can have a show about politics, sports, anything you want. Go to blogtalkradio.com, sign up, and mention Back Sports Page and get yourself a little bit of a discount. That's right, Back Sports Page and Blog Talk Radio, hand-in-hand, giving you live shows every single week. You can check out our shows, Real Sports Talk Radio, Seth and Sean Radio, Under the Hoodies, Beyond the Benches, more programs coming up. Oh, yeah, don't forget our soccer show from the Touchline in Seattle. They're every single week as well. So check it out. Blog Talk Radio, get your own show now. But for now, enjoy this show.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have something special down here at Birdland this evening, a recording for Blue Note Records.
All right, Real Sports Talk Radio for the week, or 3/7/22. That's right, July 22nd, 2015. Thank you for taking a few minutes downloading us and taking a listen to our show. You can find all of our shows on backsportspage.com, blogtalkradio.com, and on iTunes. That's right, we're on iTunes. You can find us with the big boys. So when you're done downloading Taylor Swift, you can download me, which is, I know, not much of a comparison. You would, of course, want to listen to me before you listen to Taylor Swift. And, We're here. Real quick, my name is Randy Zellio, Back Sports Page, Real Sports Talk Radio. You can be found here every Wednesday. New episodes drop. A big episode today for multiple reasons. Thank you for, again, taking a few minutes and downloading the show. Real quick, Real Sports Talk Radio is a show that you can listen to and listen to the personalities that we interview, and they take you inside their lives of the world of sports. You want to go back and go to iTunes, listen to such interviews as Tommy Dreamer from ECW, Herman Edwards from ESPN. We've had Derek Jeter on this show. We've had past interviews with Derek. Of course, last week with Sean Waltman. We have so many different interviews. I can't even count how many guests we had and gone over. Different co-hosts, Jose Padilla, Mike Tramatazzi, Michelle Mascali, Katie Hutchinson, Nicole Gray have all come on here, and we've all had some fun. Bobby Blackjack, Seth Kamens, all the crew from Back Sports Page and Blog Talk Radio from other shows. So again, this show is a show where we interview the personalities from the world of sports, and they take you inside, and that's why it's called Real Sports Talk Radio. Want to email the show? You can email me at randy@backsportspage.com or follow me on Twitter at randybsp. You can tweet hashtag Real Sports Talk Radio or tweet at Back Sports Page. And also, you know, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn, we are everywhere. We're on Facebook. Check this out. And also, if you want to help our little sponsors out, go to backsportspage.com, click on the links of the different sponsors. We have 1-800-Flowers.com, NFL Shop, NBA Shop, WWE Shop. They're all on there. So every single time you go and do your shopping through those links, you help us out monetarily. To keep these shows free for you guys to download, and you help us out as well. And also do your Amazon shopping through our Amazon store as well. So, you know, it's the dog days of summer, like I said last week. Not a lot going on in the sports world. If you're a Mets fan, you're excited because it's the first time since 2006 your team is actually good. And that's not me being insulting to Mets fans. It's just being really honest. If you're a Yankee fan, like I am, a spoiled Yankee fan, as I like to call myself, you become very spoiled of what's been going on over the last few years. The Mets lose a tough game today, 4-3, and as a Yankee fan, look, you're already up 3-0 in the bottom of the first inning today. Not that I'm sitting here to start calling play by play, but you get very spoiled with the amount of success that you've had. I have some friends who are a lot more Mets fans than they are Yankee fans, but it's just the way the organization is run. And I've said this to people in the past, and people don't really want to believe me when it comes to it, but it's really the truth. I think an organization is run from the top to the bottom, and it's done in that sense. If a organization is run with class and it has great management from the top and everybody's on the same page, it trickles down onto the product, onto the field. If you look back to such teams as, you know, the New York Mets and their crazy shenanigans with the Madoff scandal and all these different things, and all the craziness and the wild, not making sense type of organization trickle down to the field, trickle down to the product. The craziness in the Jets front office trickles down to the field. Now, look at the Giants. You know, the Giants doesn't trickle down to the field. The Giants, you know, they've had a couple bad seasons, but they are still a class organization. People want to go play for them. If the Giants go out and get them, then they, you know, it's considered a big pickup. You look at the team like the Yankees. The Yankees send out an apology letter every single year. They don't win the World Series. So take that for what it's worth. if you're a player, where do you want to play? If you had a choice between the two New York teams, or just in general any team, if it's run right, you want to go work for them. You know, look, right now Sacramento Kings are an absolute mess. You heard Bill Ingram here a couple shows ago. He was here and he was very brutally honest and saying the Sacramento Kings players, why not? They don't want to deal with the nonsense that's going on with George Karl and DeMarcus Cousins, and they don't want to deal with Rajon Rondo. They don't want to deal with any of that. They just don't. Who would? I wouldn't. No, I'll take the paycheck, but no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take care of all that, and I wouldn't deal with all that nonsense. It's crap. It's all crap. So, you know, it's all matters of the way an organization runs. And the Mets have been run very poorly over the last, I want to say, close to since 2006. We're in 2015, so you're looking at 9 years since the last time that team had really much success. You had two straight years, the Florida Marlins, now the Miami Marlins, knocked them out of the playoff picture on the last day of the season. Come on. Meanwhile, the Yankees win a World Series in 2009. If the Yankees miss the playoffs for 2 years, it's like dog years. They're gone. You're gone for like 6 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it feels like. But that's not the whole the caboodle in the whole entire situation. Like, the Yankees are now on top of the AL East. Looks like they're starting to pull away with the division. Nobody predicted the Yankees going to be the division winners. They all said if the Yankees were going to win the division, it was going to be the shocker of the, I don't want to say the shocker of the century, but they were going to, you know, everything had to go right. And so far for the Yankees, everything has gone right, and it's been very, very good for them. And now it's interesting to see where they go from here. So real quick, let's talk about tonight's show. Right now we have waiting for the captain to join us. Asaf Langer is going to make a rare appearance on Real Sports Talk Radio. I haven't talked to Asaf, and he hasn't been on the air with us in a really long time. So I figured it would be fun to have him on tonight. Also, we're going to play an interview I recorded back with Steve Sciarrippa from The Sopranos. We talk about passing of James Gandolfini. We talk about his love for the New York Rangers and the New York Knicks. He's also promoting his new tomato sauce that has hit the stores all across the country. Great guy, a lot of fun. Originally, we weren't going to use this for the podcast, so he even asked me, is this for a podcast? I'm like, no. But I'm like, yeah, we're going to use this for a podcast. So I just had to let him down a little bit in that sense. But, you know, I appreciate Steve giving me that time when we did record this interview. So I hope you guys enjoy the interview. And then we're going to have, of course, you know, we'll tidy everything up. Real quick, some news that broke today. The NBA is leaning towards cutting down their playoffs, and I'm not sure. Great idea. I do think something's got to be done. I hate seeing these under 500 teams making the NBA playoffs. Is 16 teams too much for an NBA playoffs? I think the first round's even more exciting when you have a lower-level team. I missed the five-game series. That's what I missed. I used to love the five-game series. I think that was like the best thing ever. So with that being said, they're trying to do the top eight records in the NBA. I think you might be trying to do a little too much there by doing that. I don't know. I'll ask Asaf when he comes on his general feeling of it. I think that it's a very, very tough sell to fans to do that. I don't think, because there's so many games, I don't know if you can sell only doing the top eight teams coming into the NBA playoffs. The other notes from the commissioner broke was the news that he's toying with the idea of also doing pay-per-view games, $6.99 a game on pay-per-view. I'm not sure if that's really a good idea. We have a very frugal country as it is right now. We have a lot of people who don't like to spend money if they don't have to. So let's not do it. And charging $6.99 for a pay-per-view game, I don't know how great of an inning that really, really, really is. And the other news is Becky Hammon, who's been coaching the Summer League for the San Antonio Spurs, the first woman head coach in the NBA. I think it's a nice touch. I think it's a good thing. We're breaking ground. I don't think other sports leagues, I don't think I'll ever see a coach on the sidelines of the NFL be a woman. I don't know. Some people don't want to hear me say something like that, but it's the truth. You're not going to see a women coach Major League Baseball anytime soon. So the NBA is groundbreaking, and it's topical. And I think that's important. I think that's very, very important that we're still topical right now. I think that Becky Hammon who's an unbelievable coach. If you've ever had a conversation with Becky Hammon, I have. Becky's unbelievable. She rocks, and she's going to do very, very good as a coach in this league. I personally think, I don't know, I don't want to say that she should be in a WNBA head coach, but she's really, really, really doing something different in the NBA, becoming, you know, being a Popovich disciple. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody would want to do that, working with Popovich. He's not the easiest guy in the world to work with. So that being said, that was the other news around the NBA. NHL season schedule hit. They all hit right now. They're getting ready. Devils season tickets are on sale. And there was one other piece of news that I wanted to hit that was on my desk before. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Oh, yes. So Mark Cuban was on The Herd earlier today. He discussed he was discussing the DeAndre Jordan situation, and it was an ugly situation, what happened there. I wish there would have been a little bit more a little bit more honesty from DeAndre Jordan. When Cuban made the best comment ever, when he said if there was one thing he wished he would have done differently, was had him switch his social media pages right off the bat. I was sitting there like, really? That's the one thing out of this whole situation you go back to? Really? That's the one thing? No. There's other things he could have done. And one little note out of golf. Player says golf needs Tiger at Black Champion. Let's leave a race card out of sports. I'm not a huge fan of that aspect of it. Let's not really start bringing race card. Like, anytime you start bringing the race card in, like, nothing good ever comes of it. Like, honestly, does anything ever really good come out of anyone ever bringing up the race card? Every single time you bring up the race card in sports, it turns into a disaster, a PR disaster. You know, we're in a brand of equality. You know, I think we as a country in a world, we move forward to a great place now where we can, you know, look upon race, look past race, look past color, look past everything, and we're all on the same page. You know, look, I'm a firm believer, and not to get too political on anybody, but I'm a firm believer that we should have very large equality in the White House. I think the Trumps, everyone says to me the other day that, you know, they don't know who the hell they're going to vote for because all the candidates are ridiculous. And I said before that, to a point, I agree. I'm not against Hillary ending up in the White House because we might be at a point where we're ready for a woman in the White House. I think Trump in the White House would be the best quotes ever in the history of the White House. I think if he makes the White House, then it's going to be must-see TV. But I think we're a few and far between from that ever happening. I just don't see that happening anytime soon. So I'm not going to start jumping into political talk because that's just not who I am and not what I do. But, you know, I just think that as a is a country, the quality, we're in a different place now where women could be head coaches. You know, we're not, I'm not looking at Tiger as anything as far as, you know, race in golf. I don't think him being black, white, or anything has anything to do with the game at all. I think Tiger was a trendsetter, and he had the Michael Jordan mentality of you have to kill me to beat me. And he, once everything happened with his personal life, he realized that golf is not the end all be all. It's his job. It's not his life. And I think his mentality has changed a lot, and he's now in a better place. And I'm hoping that Tiger can, you know, regain his form a little bit and things can change for him. But as of right now, he hasn't. He's now a middle of the pack golfer. I also think that the level of play from these other golfers has gotten a lot better. So, you know, we'll definitely talk with a soft language about that as well. I do think that right now we are now in a place also where, as the media, I was on the phone with a PR, a publicist a little while ago about where we are as far as, you know, having to do, have to do with, from the PR standpoint of the media, of what we do, what we don't do, and how we handle news, breaking news stories in the media. And everybody is sitting there destroying Adam Schefter from ESPN on what happened with the JPP situation, on how he basically went above and beyond and printed the medical records of JPP before they were let out to the family. The Giants have not even talked to JPP yet. I can tell you that from sources inside the team that they have not talked to the JPP. JPP is not going to be ready until about week three. He'll be available week three. If you're a Giants fan, so you have to wait the first 2 weeks of the season without him. It'll be very interesting to see what that team is going to be. Obviously, my love for that franchise is well known. I'm a very big Giants fan. Just like I'm a Nets fan, you know, they'll always have my heart. But I will also talk bad about them when they need to be talking bad about. We are awaiting a soft Langer. Soft's going to join us. We're going to go down memory lane a little bit, talk about the antics between the two of us, and all the fun we caused and all the havoc we caused over here up in Jersey. And I'll also bring some of these topics up to him. Also, the big again, it's the dog days of summer, so you guys got to, you know, bear with. There's just not a lot of news going on. NFL training camp starts July 31st. I'll be at Giants camp for a little bit to take a look and see what's going on with all the breaking news. Definitely pictures. You can definitely go on our social media and my social media pages. You can just definitely check everything out. I'm at RandyBSD on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. You can also go on backsportspage.com, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, and of course backsportspage.com. Hey, listen, you can also listen to all archives of this show, Seth and Sean, Under the Hoodies, Beyond the Benches, all the archive shows we have happening right now at backsportspage.com. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over and listen to the interview that I recently did with Steve Sciarippa. And I hope you guys enjoy it. We sat down, we talked 20 minutes, not 20 minutes, about all different things, all different topics. It's his tomato sauce, about the Sopranos, everything. By the way, Steve's segment here is brought to you by 1-800-Flowers.com. Take care of that special someone by getting that special gift for that someone you care about. 1-800-Flowers.com. Go to promotional code BACKSPORTS. And before we do that, let's bring in the captain. Why not? Let's bring in the captain. We're going to welcome the captain, the one and the only, the captain of Soft Langer. Soft, what's up, brother?
How you doing, man?
Good, man. Listen, I have some questions for you, and you got to help me out with a little bit of this here. First off, the Becky Hammon, there's the story, I don't know if you broke that, you know, NBA teams are going to start looking at her. Are you okay with I was talking about equality before and how the country has sort of grown in leaps and bounds and we can start taking different risks with certain different things. Are you okay with a woman head coach in the NBA?
100%. I don't see why not. I don't see what difference being a male or female is if you are, you know, writing plays or, you know, drawing up plays in the huddle and things like that. And like you said, it's, you know, it's 2015. If some players have a problem with that, then they need to, you know, get some life lessons.
I think it's a respect factor too. You know, I don't know if, like there's people's egos, you know, like obviously.
Well, that's,
like,
that's
like,
a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't,
no,
I don't know.
I understand that, but that's where the veterans, you know, on a team have to come in and say, you know what, little man, not literally little man, because, you know, most of them are bigger than us, but, you know, hey, rookie, you know, shut your mouth. She's the coach. Deal with it. You know, that's where, you know, players, you know, like, let's say on the Cleveland Cavaliers, like a player like LeBron James has to step up and say, hey, she's the coach. If that's what she says, that's what she says. Can't do anything about
it.
That's how it goes.
But that, I think that might be the wrong example about what happened with David Blatt this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with David Blatt and LeBron James, just like not, you know, not only not being on the same page, but not even being in the same book. You know what I mean? That's
No, I agree.
Yeah. So the other little piece of NBA news, and then you and I would just clown around, but I want to get your view on this topic too. The NBA is talking about and just taking the 8 best records.
Yeah, I did see that. I did see that when I got home from work today. I 100% I'm totally okay with that.
Really?
Yeah, I have no problems with that.
I'll tell you why I'm not. Because I always think that the best round of the playoffs is honestly the first round, because there is that, you know, the possibility, and I also missed the 5-game series. You know what I mean?
I think they should definitely go back to that 5-game series in any area. I mean, even hockey is ridiculous. You know, the postseason is almost like, what, 2.5 months long. I agree with you 100% on that. And I think, you know, I mean, do I think the playoff system now in the NBA is bad? No. Do I think it needs working over? No. But am I against the best 8 teams? No. I mean, I'm a, you know, hey, if unfortunately there are some divisions where, you know, there's better teams, so be it. You know, you don't like that, then win your games, type thing. But
what was your favorite sporting event you were ever at?
Favorite sporting event I was ever at? That's, wow. I've been to a bunch of, you know, the playoff games that we used to go to were definitely fun. In terms of, you know, fun factor and things like that, it definitely have to be, you know, those games, you know, those first round, second round games that we used to wait at the Meadowlands, you know, wait at 3 o'clock in the morning to get tickets for.
And you were not a happy camper online, man. I just remember that.
I didn't want to be woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but hey, you got to do what you got to do. But in terms of the biggest sporting event I would say I was at would have to be Robin Ventura's Grand Slam walk off single in the NLCS. That was pretty memorable to see. A bunch of Giants games, bunch of, you know, seeing the Niners play against the Giants. I don't want to bring it up because I know you don't know soccer, and I'm not bringing it up to talk about them. But seeing Manchester United,
you can bring
play,
it up all you want. I'll try and hold my own. I might fail miserably, but I'll hold my own.
Well, unfortunately, if you want to talk about soccer, the USA is in danger of losing to Jamaica right now in the semifinals of the Gold Cup, which is not good.
Would it make me a bad American to know to tell you that I'm not, like, didn't even know that they were playing right now?
It's okay. This is if they lose here, this is not good. Other than the walk off single, which was a Grand Slam walk off single, which was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen. You know, a bunch of other great sports memories. You know, obviously all the Nets games, Mets games I've been to. You know, things like that. So
we. I remember, like, we would always those Nets games were always a good time. And I was talking with, you know, Gary earlier, our friend Gary who comes on this show every once in a while too. And we were talking a little bit about, you know, the Mets, and I opened up the show, believe it or not, I opened up the show with talking baseball with the Mets too, which I think you find very funny. Even though they lost today.
Thanks.
Well, you know, but I think this goes with any sports organization. The Yankees and the Giants, I always say, are the class organizations, because winning starts at the top. And, like, when there's nonsense going on at the top of the organization, it usually trickles down to the product. And between the Madoff situation and a lot of other different things that were going on with the Mets, the product suffered because of it. The Yankees send a letter out every single year they don't win the World Series to their season ticket holders, apologizing for not winning the World Series. So the Yankees have winning from the top to the bottom or the organization. Now, do you think with the Mets, we're getting past that point now where we're like, okay, all the nonsense is over, you know, this is the year that they can make the playoffs?
I hope so. I mean, with the NBA, it's so weird, you know, I mean, because the contracts they give out, and, you know, I mean, you could turn a one solid year into a $90 million contract. Like, you know, Jimmy Butler, who, you know, granted, he had a great year this year, and now he got a $90 million salary, $90 million contract. You don't really know what he's going to do. You know, with all the, you know, I don't know how to word it, but you know how you can get, like, the big three, how LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, all worked it out so that they can work together and things like that. I think with the NBA, it's very tough to, you know, unless you're basically the San Antonio Spurs, it's very tough to build a dynasty to really, you know, set it up. And with the Nets specifically, with their owner, I don't think they can, unfortunately, and I would love to see them do much better than they are. You know, a new arena and, you know, billions of dollars with an owner could only get you so far. You know, I mean, especially with their owner. He's not exactly, you know, Mark Cuban's a billionaire, but the people love to play for him. You know, the people don't really care to play for, what's his name, Prokhorov or whatever, however you pronounce it. You know?
Prokhorov.
Yes. And like you see it now, I forgot who the player was that ended up going to Milwaukee instead of New York and L.A.
Oh, Greg Monroe.
That just shows you, that just shows you what type of atmosphere now is in the NBA, where a player, not because, you know, of the money, because he could have gotten, you know, the same money, more money, whatever it was. I don't know the contracts. But he went to Milwaukee because Milwaukee gave him a better chance of winning. When was the last time you heard that?
Yeah.
You know? So big money teams, you know, like, I think Phil Jackson, as much as he might be a genius as a coach, unfortunately for Knicks fans and for the Knicks, they can't expect to win anytime soon. That organization is not winning, in my mind, you know, even making the playoffs anytime in the near future. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but.
Well, it's funny. I let you go on the rant about the Nets, and I was like, "Where's he going with this?" Because I actually said the Mets, but that's okay too. Like,
oh, you said the Mets. Oh, well, I think the Mets are the same thing. It's the same thing, you know, with ownership and everything.
For the Mets over.
You know, I apologize. I thought you said the Nets. The Mets, it's the same thing. You know, their ownership. Obviously, he got, you know, ruined with the whole Madoff scheme and all that stuff. I know that stuff kind of caught up with the Mets, or the owner at least, not because he wanted it to. But, you know, same thing. You know, you have an environment where, you know, the team hasn't even been, you know, relevant since, what, 03, 04 maybe?
06.
And, you know, was it 06? Okay,
yeah,
I forgot, because my friend and I actually had season ticket packages, and I remember 2 years in a row, we went and we were at the last game on a Sunday, and it was against the Marlins. And if the Mets won, they were in. If they lost, they were out. And both years they lost. So, but, you know, again, it's tough. And again, with teams like small market teams, like I said, the Milwaukee Bucks, but you have like the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Kansas City Royals, who are arguably the two best teams in baseball, people want to go there now. They don't need to go to the Mets, you know, and they can get the same money and actually win. So
that's the topic, though. That's the thing, though. Like, you know, this is a conversation I have with a lot of people, is at what point now, are we at a point now where, you know, New York doesn't have that allure of, what, you know, let's go to New York because, you know, we have the best chance of winning, getting endorsed.
No, I don't think New York or L.A. or any of the big towns has that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't blame it.
It depends what sport. Like, if you're talking about the New York Yankees, you know, they could be 10 years in a row losses, you know, losing seasons, but they're still the Yankees. So they're still the Yankees. You know, it's the same thing like with the Red Sox or any team like that. But when you talk about the Nets or the Mets, you know, the Mets don't have that aura, you know. They got 1986. That's about it.
Well, also, you know, so. you take a team also like, you know, you look at the NBA, like Kevin Durant's going to have a tough decision next year, and Knicks fans are like, oh, we're going to get him next year. No, you're not.
He's not going to go there.
Yeah, and it's the same thing in football, too. You know, like you said, when it's a class organization, you know, you take a mm-hmm. team like the Giants. You know, people will go to the Giants before they go to the Jets. People will go to the Giants before they end up going to a team like the Saints.
Well, I think with them also, I mean, you know, the Giants are forget that they're a class act, and, you know, they've also won more. I mean, you know, the Jets are, you know, they're not exactly a proven winning team.
No.
You know, I mean, whereas the Giants, they have four Super Bowls? Five Super Bowls?
Yeah.
Four Super Bowls. And then, you know, before that, they have like 15, God knows how many, you know, NFL titles. So, but, yeah, I think that definitely plays a big part. You know, the Mets, again, they have 69 and 86. That's it.
You know. Well, Sal, we're going to head over to our feature interview of the week in about a minute. But real quick,
no problem.
You know, I wanted to just ask you if you had to make a prediction for your Mets. Playoffs or no playoffs?
No playoffs.
I know. Pain.
Come on, do the Mets.
All right, Sal, hopefully we'll have you on again during the football season, and we can rant and rave about your 49ers.
I can give you a prediction on that one really quickly, too. 49ers don't make the playoffs either.
5-11?
I say 6-10 or 7-9.
Okay.
I say it all depends. It all depends on the Rams. The Rams, I forgot who their quarterback is. I think it's Cobb. No, it's not Kevin Cobb.
It's Nick Foles.
It's Nick Foles. If he could stay healthy, the Rams are a scary team.
Yeah, because they have a running game and they have receivers,
yeah,
and they have good defense. Yeah.
Exactly. Watch them. They could be a scary team if they could stay healthy. But, yeah, Niners, Mets, no playoffs. And, and me, not happy man.
Yeah. Asaf, thanks for coming on for a few minutes, brother.
No problem. Thank you for having me. We'll talk soon.
Definitely.
Take it easy. Bye.
The cats, ladies and gentlemen.
Take it easy. Bye.
All right. Asaf's segment was brought to you by the MLBShop.com. Go there. Use the keyword BackSports. Get yourself a little money off of your order anytime you shop at any of the major leagues, shops, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, WWE shop, everything there. Every time you use the words Back Sports, you save a little money. All right, feature interview of the week, 1-800-Flowers.com. Interview of the week, Steve Sciarpa of The Sopranos. Check him out. He's got a whole bunch of different food products. He's got new tomato sauce. So talk about The Sopranos, New York Rangers, New York Knicks. And then after this interview, we'll be back to close up shop. Here's Steve Sciarpa.
How are we doing today?
Everything's good, pal. How about you?
I'm doing okay. It seems that you've been keeping yourself busy. I see this very big box of tomato sauce in front of me.
Oh, nice. You'll try it. It's good.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Where did you get the idea for the sauce?
Well, it's my mother's recipe. My mother passed away a couple of years ago, and a buddy of mine said, let's do something. Your mother was such a great cook. So I got my mother's recipe, which I had known, and then we made it healthier. We made it organic. We have it gluten-free, non-GMO, kosher, and the ingredients are on the front of the label, and it took us a long time to get it the right way, and It is, I'm not a jaw sauce guy, but I got to tell you, it is absolutely terrific. I mean, you're going to love it. Even people that don't eat jaw sauce, they taste it, they become a fan, you know? It's that good.
Where did you come up with the name for it?
Just a slang name. My buddy, my partner calls me Uncle Steve, blah, 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 and that's it. We just, he always called me Uncle Steve, joking around, and then we named the sauce that. It took us a long time to get it the right way. We've only been in business about a year, and it took us, it took us quite a while to get the sauce the right way. We gave away $40,000 worth of sauce the first batch because we didn't have it the way we wanted it. And now we cook it for 6 hours. It's made in small batches. It's all organic, the finest ingredients. I got to tell you, the sauce is really good. There's not a chance you would know that it comes from a jar if you didn't see the jar. You're going to see when you open the sauce, you're going to love it.
As far as distribution, have you guys made it to shelves yet, or is it done strictly online?
Yeah, we're in over 2,000 stores.
Awesome, awesome.
Across the country. We're in Whole Foods, ShopRite, Stop and Shop, Fairway. We're in all kinds of specialty stores. We're in about 30 different states. We should be in Los Angeles and Gelson's any time now. So you go to UncleStevesNY.com and you put in your zip code and you see all the stores where we are throughout the country. We're in a ton of places, and we're only in business not even a year, so it's unheard of.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's like crazier than like Shark Tank stuff. So that's crazy right there.
Yeah, Shark Tank is make believe, man. Make believe stuff, but whatever. You know, no, we're doing fine without Shark Tank.
One of the reasons we really wanted to talk with you is also we knew that you were a very big New York sports fan, and you're obviously very big with the Knicks, and wanted to talk with you just a little sports and your take on the New York Knicks at this point in time, getting high in the draft. What do you think about the team and the situation that they've been in?
Well, listen, I'm a fan. I've been a fan since I'm a kid. I go to a lot of games. And I'm not a front runner. That's a lot. You get a lot of that with celebrities. They jump on, they jump off. Some of them, you know, if the Knicks are winning, everybody wants to go to the game. The Knicks ain't winning, you know, nobody's there. You know, no celebrities come, or less celebrities, you know. I'll tell you what, the New York the fans are loyal because they're sold out almost all the time. And I don't care what their record was this year. If it gets to the fourth quarter, the game's close. I mean, it sounds like it's a playoff game. That's how much they want the team to win. So as fans, you know, I think fans, Knicks fans are great. I think they're loyal. I think they're knowledgeable. I also, we have to put our faith in Phil Jackson here. And I do know this. MSG, they want to win. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of mishaps over the years, absolutely, but they want to win. And I think Phil Jackson, there's a method to his madness, and I think he's going to build a nice team for us next year, and it'll only get better. That's what I think.
Well, you've been a fan for a long time. What are some of your favorite memories of being at the Garden? Do you have any particular games that you enjoyed?
I went to the Garden originally when I was, the year, I don't know, 69-70 with Frazier and Reed and then Bill Bradley, the Bush of those guys, you know. And then years later, I got to know a lot of them. I know Clyde very well, and I've met Willis Reed and then Barnett, and then Earl Monroe is a friend of mine. There's not one memory like where you go, I wasn't at the final game, and I wasn't, you know, it's just that I used to sit upstairs when I was a kid, and I loved it, and now I'm lucky enough to sit close to the court, and of all the things I've done, I enjoy going to the Knicks games. Okay, win or lose, I enjoy it. I would rather them win, of course, but I take my kids, my two daughters love going, my wife loves going. Listen, I played in the Garden. You know, I played in college. 75 pounds ago, I scored 13 points in the Garden. And that was 1978 or 9, I think. And that was a good one, you know. That's a memorable one. But listen, man, there's no place like Madison Square Garden.
You're a Rangers fan, too. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty good. I never played hockey, so I don't understand it as much as, you know what I mean? I never played it. I played baseball. I played basketball. I don't understand hockey as well, but yes, I'm a Ranger fan. I think I've been to one playoff game so far this year, and hopefully we're going to come back. A big win. We need a win tonight. That'll be big. But I'm a Knick, Ranger, and a Yankee fan.
What about Yankee Stadium? Which stadium did you like more? Did you like the older stadium or do you like the brand new stadium?
You know, either one. I don't know if they really even needed a new stadium. You know, I mean, they could have just remodeled. It kind of looks the same to a degree. I like the new stadium. I mean, I was there opening day. I love going to a Yankee game, you know. You know, they're playing better than what I, after opening day, I was a little disappointed, you know, but I think they might be able to win 85, 90 games and sneak into the playoffs, you know. So I'm pleasantly surprised with them.
You know, we all know that a lot of your fame, you know, came with the Sopranos. When the Sopranos ended, did you have a hard time not being sort of typecasted into the Italian mafia type of role?
No. It's very hard. It still is now. I was on another series for 5 years, Secret right. Life of the American Teenager,
right.
Where I just played a suburban dad, and I did 110 episodes of that, and that was with Molly Ringwald and Shailene Woodley. And, you know, I played a suburban dad, but forever it's going to be Bobby Bacala. And I understand that. I also understand I'm not going to play an English professor. I'm, you know, 6'2", 285 pounds, you know. So I understand that. I'm a blue-collar guy, you know. I don't hide too easily. But I've turned down a whole bunch of mob stuff because a lot of it's crap.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be as good as The Sopranos, so I've turned a lot of that down. No, that's never going to go away. That's always they're gonna see you like that and probably never go away, and that's okay. I mean, what else? I didn't have a career before The Sopranos, and because of The Sopranos, I've written 6 books, I've except produced a bunch of shows, I've created some shows, I've done a whole lot of stuff. I've been, you know, I had a whole other life before The Sopranos. I started with them in 1999, you know, I've made a living all these years, I've done well. And that's it, that's okay.
Well, you said, you know, you helped develop a lot of different shows. How hard is it to get a show sort of greenlit in that sense?
You know, it's hard. I mean, you gotta go in, you gotta do the dance, man. You know, you gotta go in, you gotta pitch. I've sold about 6 or 7 shows in my life, and I've also, you know, trying to sell shows and got shut out, you know, go to every network. It's very frustrating. You know, you go in and you're meeting and you're pitching and, you know, for 2-3 days you're out in L.A. and, you know, 15, you're all for 15. It's tough sometimes, you know. You know, you get a good idea. It's a lot of times the executives don't know what they want. You come in with an idea, we're going to do this, this, and this. You got to connect with a good producer. Because a lot of networks want to be in business with a producer that they know is going to spend their money properly and the show's going to come in on time and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I've had good luck. I've had bad luck, you know. So it's a crapshoot. You're out there selling, pitching. Some people love the idea of pitching. They love going in there being the sales guy, you know. And everyone has to do it. I don't care if you're the biggest producer or you're just starting. Everyone has to do it. That's just part of the process, you know.
Yeah, TV is a very, very difficult world. Are you surprised on how a lot of series now are being picked up by, you know, networks like Netflix and Hulu Plus are coming out with their exclusive programming? Are you surprised that we're getting to that point, that things are not ending up on a network and we're going to be ending up being on a, like, on-demand channel?
You know, I mean, that whole landscape's changed, man. You know, a lot of people don't watch TV anymore, don't watch as much TV, and people like to watch TV when they do. You know, it's not appointment. Like, you don't have to, I got to be home Wednesday night to watch my show at 10 o'clock. People are busy. It's a different world, you know. So I think for a lot of people, they like watching that way. I know I DVR a couple. I don't watch that much TV, but I DVR certain things and then, you know, watch it when it's convenient or I got nothing to do, you know. They give you more freedom, I think. A lot of places are doing it. You know, it's very cluttered. You got a lot of this reality crap, which is real garbage, you know.
Yeah.
It's the dumbing down of America. Real garbage. And then you've got some brilliant shows. So I think it's, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's pretty good.
What was it like the first time you saw yourself on television?
I don't even know, man. I don't remember. I guess it was a long time ago. You know, people see it and they call you. You know, back then, you know, people would call, hey, I just saw you, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now it doesn't happen because it's been,
yeah.
I mean, probably, I don't even know how many thousands of TV appearances. I don't know. But at first, a lot of people had seen it and they would call, hey, man, you know. I think my first time was 1990 or 92 or something. It was like, hey, you know, were you just on TV? You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I don't know. It's okay. I don't watch myself, you know.
Yeah.
Now. I don't really like to watch myself on TV.
You know, you brought up your books before. You wrote up multiple books. Can you talk about how difficult of a process that can be, you know, writing a book like that?
You know, I didn't find it that difficult because I had a lot to say. You know, I had some really good ideas and a lot to say, and six books, and some of them were better than others, but I thought, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the hard part's going out to try to get people to buy it, you know.
Yeah, well, you know.
But sometimes it clicks and sometimes it doesn't. That's a difficult part, the publicity-wise. That's not easy because you're out there and you're doing radio and you're doing TV and you're doing book signings and people come and they enjoy the book and then sometimes it just doesn't click, you know, and then you go, well, what's wrong, you know.
Well, also, do you feel that also having your past success already helps sort of sell the book without even knowing what the real premise of the book is?
Maybe. If they enjoyed your other books. Listen, people, you know, people aren't reading, I don't think, as much as they used to. They're on the Kindles. They're not buying hard books like that. That business has changed tremendously from when my first book was back in 2002. So that world has changed a whole lot from when I had my last book in 2013. You know, I don't know, I've had pretty good experience. A lot of people I run into all the time, they read one of them or the other. We did, you know, also we turned, I did a kid's book that we turned into a movie, Nikki Deuce, for Nickelodeon, and I was lucky enough to make that movie a few years ago, and I put some of the Sopranos in it. It's one of Jim Gandolfini's last movies, and that was a lot of fun. That process was a lot of fun. We shot it, and I got to put my friends in it, and I thought it came out great. It's a kid movie. It's called Nikki Deuce, and that was pretty good.
And there's a lot of stories on how great of a person Jim Gandolfini was. Can you talk about your relationship with him?
Yeah, he was a great guy, a really close friend of mine. Good guy, generous guy, and it stunned all of us as it did, you know, the whole country, you know, and very sad, and he was a lot of fun to go out with, and he was one of those guys that you thought was indestructible, you know, and it's a shame. Very talented guy, good guy.
I opened it up to a lot of people I know that I was going to be talking with you today. I said send over questions. I do have a couple of them, some of them Soprano related. Get those out of the way.
We doing a radio show? What is this?
We weren't doing a radio show. Certainly not.
It's not a radio show. This is an interview for your website.
Correct.
Right?
Yep, yes, sir.
What do you have, a website, right? I want to make sure, because the way you're answering the questions.
it's for the website.
All right.
One of the questions was asked, was there any truth to a Soprano movie?
As far as I know, absolutely not.
Okay.
Now, what do I know? You know, I mean, I don't know if they come up with an idea or a prequel. I mean, I can't see how you could possibly do it without Jim, but could you do something from Tony Soprano was, you know, whatever, you know, when they started 40 years old or late 30s. I mean, can you do something from when he was in his late teens and 20 years old? I guess you can. And new characters, new actors, you know. I guess that's always a possibility. Young Sopranos. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you possibly could do it. I didn't think even when Jim was alive it would ever be done, but I don't know, you know.
Yeah, because it seems like a lot of HBO shows is now after, you know, like Entourage.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, I mean, that's completely up to David Chase. I mean, I guess if he has a good idea, who knows, you know?
No, definitely. Another one was, did you feel a little weird from a character standpoint with Bobby when they sort of pulled you away from Junior during that last year of the show, that they were sort of fishing for things for you to do at that point, for like a different type of story at that point?
No, I don't think they were fishing for things for me to do. I think, you know, once Bobby got into the family, I thought that was a great thing. I mean, he was with the boss, you know. I mean, suddenly he was moving up the ladder. He married the boss's sister. And I wasn't, I think my storyline had gotten, you know, pretty good, you know. I mean, Bobby, they were giving him more responsibility. He kind of stepped up to the plate. He wasn't as stupid as he was at the beginning. I think he got a little smarter, a little wiser. And he had his wife pushing him, from the crazy wife pushing him from the other way, you know. So, no, it was absolutely fine. Listen, the writing was brilliant. Whatever they want to do is fine with me.
Yeah.
You never question anything. Never.
I there was a couple moments that you had on the show that always stick out to me. I always loved that was the Sopranos home movie episode where you and Tony got into a fight. That was a great episode. And
that was good stuff. You know, I mean, and there was mostly just the four of us out there, and we were shot at upstate. And I think it was a good fight because it was two fat, sweaty guys. It's like a real fight, not a phony Steven Seagal kind of fight, you know?
Or not a Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Yeah. What a disaster that was. I should have got my $100 and threw it down the toilet.
Yeah, and now they're airing it on HBO this week. So it's like,
listen, I'm not that big a fight fan. I used to be. I lived in Vegas for many years. I was at some of the biggest fights. In the early 80s and the mid 80s. And the fight games just got boring to me, you know?
Yeah.
Just got really, really, really boring, and I don't like what's going on. But, you know, I was out, and then I said, you know what, I'd rather watch it by myself. You know, I'd watch it in my apartment. So me and my wife, we rented it, and it was a bust, kind of like I knew it would be. It couldn't possibly live up to the hype anyway.
Well, the fight was about 5 years too late, and it had Tyson anticipation is what we like to call it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, listen, they got the money, they got us again, duped again, my friend.
So, what other projects
you? You know, I mean, they got rich, good for them. Listen, whatever, it is what it is.
What other projects are you working on right now?
Something going for IFC, and I also have a movie called Chasing Yesterday, which is a nice movie. Young director Joe Pernice, that's on the festival circuit, and another one called Houses. So I got a few things going on. I did a pilot for the Cooking Channel that's around, and we're going to see if they pick that up. So all is well.
Are you involved with social media at all?
I just got a Twitter account, but I still got a flip phone, so. Once in a while I'll do something, but, you know, I'm concentrating on the source. It's UncleStevesNY.com. It's, you go on, you see, we're in about 30 states. The source is great. You can also 1-844-NY-SAUCE. So we're concentrating on that. I'm doing a lot of that with food shows. We're going out to a bunch of some stores, make some appearances, been busy with that. We're really growing leaps and bounds. So the sauce business has been pretty good. And that's it, man. I'm on Facebook and I'm on Twitter. But there's a guy that I think it's at Steven Sharippa. I think. I don't know, brother.
All right, the great Steve Sharippa. Hope you guys enjoyed that interview. It was a lot of fun for me to do it. If you want to listen to that again, you can listen to it anytime at iTunes, backsportspage.com, and blogtalkradio.com. Hey, thanks for tuning in this week. Like I said, dog days of summer, so it's a little bit of slow moving as far as what we're doing with guests and stuff this is concerned. I appreciate you guys taking a few minutes to download the show. Go to backsportspage.com. Show support by going to our Amazon store as well as the NBA shop, NFL shop. 1-800-FLOWERS, using the keyword backsports, you save yourself a couple bucks, and you're also helping this show out. So thanks very much, guys. Thank you for Asaf Langer for coming on. Thank you for Steve Sharippa. We'll be back next week. New episode will drop on Wednesday night, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for taking a few minutes to download us on either of those Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or backsportspage.com. Thanks for taking a few minutes. My name is Randy Zelia. We'll see you next week.